it's been pretty sudden that everything has happened. I mean, we did just release our record, and we were, you know, virtually nobody, you know, a year ago, we just in our hometown. So yeah, it is, it's strange. You gotta kind of adjust real fast.
Evanescence announced itself to the world at large in 2003 as a four-piece band. Ben Moody and Amy Lee were joined full-time by drummer Rocky Gray, ex-Soul Embraced and fellow Arkansan death metalers Living Sacrifice, and writer of Tourniquet, and guitarist John LeCompte, ex-Mindrage. The new look Evanescence's first public appearance was in the big-budget video for the first single, Bring Me to Life. Set against the backdrop of a computer-generated cityscape drawn directly from the Daredevil film, it features Amy tossing and turning in bed as she experiences nightmares of falling from tall buildings in a flimsy nightdress. Meanwhile, the band, with guest vocalist Paul McCoy, are performing in a neighbouring apartment. For the second verse, she begins sleepwalking along the high window ledge, past various windows and the scenes happening behind them. A man in a near stupor in front of a television, a party, and so on. Finally, she reaches the apartment where the band are playing, where Paul sees her and attempts to catch her before she falls, but ultimately fails. Bring Me to Life was soon on heavy rotation on MTV, and the track was released as a single, backed by the songs Further Away and Missing. It was already gathering near saturation radio play as a promo from the Daredevil soundtrack, and as soon as it was officially released, in February of 2003, it began to race up the singles charts. When the album followed a month later, it repeated the single's success, mostly, it has to be said, on the strength of that one song. Linkin Park meets Lacuna Coil, the critics said of Bring Me to Life, immediately pushing Evanescence into a rap rock, new metal bracket where they never belonged. The staccato, barked male vocal on Bring Me to Life, never really a rap, was provided by Paul McCoy, who flew in, added it to the track in half an hour, then rejoined his band, 12 Stones, on tour, returning only to shoot the video, which remains the single time he has performed with Evanescence. His presence on the song is, in a sense, a red herring, a welcome addition, but in no way representative of the sound of the group as a whole. Many critics and pop pundits have suggested that the people who bought Fallen bought it for that one unrepresentative song. An observation which, if true, hardly bodes well for Evanescence's long-term career. It's a theory supported by their relatively modest concert attendances compared to their world-conquering record sales. Put simply, Evanescence haven't had the slow, steady climb to the top that builds up a large and loyal grassroots following. The kind that comes to all the shows, buys the albums, and sustains a long-term career. Instead, they've exploded suddenly, generating huge and possibly short-term success. Amy Lee sees it differently. I think that people like the songs, and then they listen to the songs, and then they like us as a band, she explained patiently to Kerrang! Magazine. Because there's so much in the songs for people to hold on to. I think that will be the secret of our longevity. Whatever the case, after years of being the big fish in the very small pond of Little Rock, Arkansas, Evanescence were now selling records by the million, topping singles and album charts in America and across the world, and dominating both MTV and the radio airwaves. And in the process, they were attracting fans who took the band straight to their hearts, who fell in love with both the darkness and the light behind it. Evanescence had arrived, and they had the world at their feet. But trouble was just around the corner.